Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 18. Pretty much verses 5 through 30, which take us through the rest of this chapter. And what we're going to see today is Saul's envy. Saul's envy. In this passage, Saul envied David for the saying of the women that you're going to read about in this text. Let's read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed unto David ten thousands, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give to thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at that time, when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David, and David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Now, this is a tragic passage here, of course. Here's the king, and here's the best man that he's ever had in his army, and he wants him dead. Saul envied David for the saying of the women who ascribed to David the victory over tens of thousands and only thousands to Saul, there in verses 7 and 8. And in Saul's case, he began to envy David, and look what this envy did to him, and look what it did to his family. First of all, it caused him to eye David. Okay, look at verse 9. Saul eyed David from that day and forward. You know, they talk about the evil eye. They talk about the green eye of envy. And what happened is that as David began to eye, excuse me, as Saul began to eye David, the more that he saw, the more that he disliked him. Do you understand? In other words, if he hadn't envied him, if he hadn't been stalking him in his anger, then he might have been able to handle this little setback of being upset about the fact that David accounted more victory than Saul was in that war. But by eyeing David, all he did was make the matter worse. I mean, you go through this whole passage, look down here at verses 28 and 29. Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. So this envy that caused him to eye David simply made the matter worse. Now listen, once you envy someone, they seem to be magnified in your sight, and everything they do bothers you. I mean, you can't let it go. You look at them and you think, okay, I didn't like that. And you start keeping your eye on them, and the next good thing that God does through them, and the next good thing that they do that gains them some recognition, and the next bonehead decision you make that seems to even magnify that person more, only makes the matter worse. You end up hating the person that you should like, because God's using them and they're still, quote, on your team. But you don't like them because they keep getting all the credit, and all it's doing is just making you madder, really, by the episode. Titus 3:3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. People that live in malice and envy are hateful, and they do hate one another. And they can't take their eye off of the person that seems to be their nemesis. And that's what happened to Saul. The envy caused him to eye David, and the eyeing of David caused him to hate David. What's another thing? Well, Saul's envy contributed to his trouble with the evil spirit. Look in verse 10. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now listen, it's bad enough that envy has the control over your flesh that it does and affects your spirit the way that it does. Okay, that in itself is a bad thing. But you know something? When that gets compounded by the work of an evil spirit in your life, then it becomes exponentially more difficult to deal with. Envy is responsible for lots and lots of evil. Look at the associations in James chapter 3 and verse 16. Look at the things that are associated with envy like they were in Titus 3:3 with hatred. James chapter 3 verse 16. We'll start with verse 14 for the context. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, look at it, devilish. You see, the devil gets involved in it. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, you see, that's exactly what happened to Saul. The envy was compounded by devilish things, by an evil spirit, and then there was evil and confusion and every evil work. And it really messed him up. It really messed with his mind, and it messed with his heart. You say, well, I'm Christian, and there's no way that evil spirits are going to mess with me. Well, you say that because that's what you've been taught, and I've heard that. But when I examine the Scripture to see for myself whether that was so, that's not the case at all. The truth of the matter is, your mind can be affected, your heart can be affected. There in the church is Ananias and Sapphira, and listen, they give a huge portion of the sale of a possession. It's just that they don't give it all, and they make out like the portion they gave was the full amount so they could seem as spiritual as everybody else. And when Peter confronted Ananias about it, he said, Why, Ananias, hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, listen, if Satan can talk through the mouth of a preacher like he did through the mouth of Peter in Matthew 16, and he can fill the heart of a Christian like he filled the heart of Ananias in Acts chapter 5, okay, and he can mess with the minds of people. Let me tell you something. He can mess with you. And I'm telling you, if you've got envy, you know it, because the very mention of it in this sermon has already brought to face your David. You are the person against whom you have envy has come up in front of your face right now. And you know what? You know what? When that envy surfaces toward somebody like Saul's envy surfaced toward David, you are now in the realm of evil, and you have now exposed yourself to evil spirits. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. It got him. Listen, you do not want to mess with envy, because you can't take your eye off the person that's bothering you, like Saul eyed David, and you're messing now in an arena that is controlled by the devil and leads to some real bad work of evil spirits in your life. I'm not saying that that's necessarily happened, but I'm going to tell you, the risks are there and you see the association. That's not all. Saul's envy caused him to eye David. It contributed to his trouble with the evil spirit. And I'll tell you what else it did. It made him want to kill David. That's right. You remember that thing in Titus 3:3 about that malice and envy? That malice that's associated with envy wants to hurt the other person, in this case, to destroy them. Look at verse 11. Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. But that isn't the only time. Then Saul pursued him, you know, to the cave, and pursued him over there by Keilah, and pursued him until finally David ended up having to leave the country. It got so bad because Saul wanted to kill him. Now, you know something? That is the same reason that the Pharisees decided to kill Jesus Christ. It's the same motive. It is deadly. Matthew 27:18. Envy is deadly. It's hateful. And it's evil. I don't know how else to put it. It's hateful. It's evil. It's deadly. Look here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 18. He knew, that's Pilate, that for envy they, that's the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees, had delivered him, that's Jesus Christ. Pilate knew that for envy the chief priests and Pharisees and scribes had delivered Jesus Christ. Do you know that it was envy that the Jews had against Moses when they said, who made you a deliverer and a judge over us? You know it was envy that caused those boys, those brothers, to try to kill Joseph and eventually decide to sell him off as a slave? You know, that's the same thing. Well, that is why you look at that thing and say, why in the world did Saul want to kill David? Envy. It's deadly. Hateful, evil, and deadly. But that's not all. Saul's envy resulted in him fearing David. Look at verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Now listen, the remedy for the fear of man is the fear of the Lord. But when you decide that you are going to envy somebody, you step away from the fear of the Lord, and you end up fearing the person that you envy. A person overcome with envy is not in the fear of the Lord, and he can end up fearing the person that he envies. You say, well, what's all that? Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. The Bible has a lot to say about envy, because envy is a real problem. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You envy sinners, you come out from underneath the fear of the Lord. You come out from underneath the fear of the Lord, you start fearing the person you envy. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, that people are spooky enough already as it is. I mean, this fear-mongering that is being used on conservative talk radio in the name of preparing you for the evil to come is making somebody a tremendous amount of money. Have you noticed that the gold advertisers all advertise on that type of radio? Have you noticed that? They want you to buy that precious metal. Let me ask you something. How are you going to be able to nourish your body with that precious metal? I mean, I'm not telling you that I am opposed to the purchase of gold. Don't misunderstand me at all. But I'm telling you, some people have gone fanatical with it. You can't eat it. And the Bible tells us in several places that they cast their gold and their silver into the streets, that their gold and silver is cankered like it's rusted. And you say, well, that can't happen. Listen, anything can happen with God. You know what? He that trusted in his riches shall fall. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. But that fear-mongering has caused people to lose their faith in the Lord God and put their faith in precious metals. And they talk about stockpiling food and every other kind of thing. Listen, somebody is getting rich off of that fear. So with that kind of fear-mongering going on in order to sell things, in order to broadcast, in order to beef up the ratings, you know what's happened? You're already scared enough without having to then take that fearful nature and put it on a man that you fear now because you envy this person because God seems to be showing them more favor than he shows you. And let me tell you something. If you're going to be led by envy, you're going to find all kinds of reasons to further envy them because the Lord is going to quit blessing you altogether and he's going to bless them, it seems, just to spite you. You don't need that. But that's the way it is. It leads to fear of man. Okay? But that's not all. Envy is confusing. That's what the Bible says. Okay? It is confusing. In James chapter 3, when we looked at that, it said that it's accompanied with confusion and every evil work. Watch this confusion here. Watch how Saul's envy clouded his decisions with regard to David. Verse 20, Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Well, he's going to be the proud father-in-law, one of the greatest men in Israel. No. Instead, Saul trampled on his daughter's love for David. Verse 20, it pleased him, but look at verse 21. Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law and one of the twain. And he even said, tell, the servant said, Saul hath delight in thee. Now that's strange. In other words, daughter, I want you to get engaged to this guy. I want you to, you're already in love with him. I want you to fall in love with him like for a marriage. Then I'm going to send him out to go get a dowry of the foreskins of these Philistines. He's going to die, and you'll be heartbroken, but that's okay. I'll marry you off to somebody else. He just trampled on his daughter's love for David and decided to use that as a method of getting to David. You know, that's a terrible thing to do to a daughter. And then, as I said, tried to have David killed for the dowry of the foreskins. Verse 25, Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. It was a setup. He's hoping you get over there and try to do that to those Philistines. They'll kill you. Well, David went and got 200 instead of 100. And what happened to Saul is that he eventually ended up fighting against the Lord, since it was the Lord's decision to take the kingdom away from Saul and give it to David. And of course, Saul was fully aware of this. Look in verse 8 again. Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed but thousands, and what can he have more but the kingdom?" He knew. He knew exactly what was going on. You know, Samuel had said God had rejected thee from being king and sought a man after his own heart. All right, well, the man that he sought after his own heart is David. And Saul, watching what was going on with David, he said, "That's the king right there. That's the next king right there." And so he says, "And what can he have more but the kingdom?" Well, let me say something. If Saul heard from Samuel that God had chosen him, the man, to survive and succeed Saul in the throne, then Saul was fighting against the Lord, and somehow or another Saul was stupid enough, blinded enough, let's put it that way, by envy to believe that he could literally kill David and cause the throne to pass on down to Jonathan and could upset the will of God. You know what he did? He ended up fighting against the Lord. And look at Proverbs 27:4. This envy that's so confusing and so fearful and so deadly. Look at this thing. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel. Yeah, we've seen that. And anger is outrageous. We've seen that. But who is able to stand before envy? Nobody. Jesus couldn't stand before it. Nobody. Joseph couldn't stand before it. And neither could David. Eventually, he had to leave the country to get away from Saul. Listen, this envy is bad, bad stuff. It's hateful. It's evil. It's deadly. It's fearful. It's confusing. I'm going to tell you something else. It's rotten. It's rotten. This envy eventually ruined Saul. I mean, because I'm not going to take you all the way through to 1 Samuel chapter 30, okay? But you just reading through all this, you're going to know, as we study through this, all the attempts on David's life and then the eventual death of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 31. But, I mean, Saul just got worse and worse and worse, and he never gave it up. And you know what Proverbs says about this? You're talking David's son writing this, considering what he knew of Saul's envy for his father David. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. And I'm telling you, Saul just got rotten from the inside out. Saul's envy ruined him. It rotted him from the inside out. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll ruin you too if you don't get rid of it. Are you eyeing somebody with hatred now because of your envy for them? Oh, you wouldn't admit that to me. But I'm talking about honestly between you and God. Is the Holy Spirit bringing somebody to mind right now? Have you been troubled with evil thoughts toward them and malice? I mean, that, you know, you wouldn't kill them, but under the right circumstances, you wish they'd die. It caused you now to fear them instead of to fear the Lord. And are you making confusing and irrational decisions about them now? Are you rotting from the inside out? Then you need to get rid of the envy that's in you, because it will absolutely destroy you. As we saw in James chapter 3, that stuff is not from the Lord. That envy is not from the Lord. It is earthly. It is sensual. It is devilish. And it is associated with all kinds of wicked things. Bitterness, bitter envying, and strife. You're lying against the truth if you honestly think that your envy toward these folks or this person is gaining you any ground at all with God or against them. You're going to have to put it away from you. You're going to have to let the thing go. You've got to stop it. Galatians chapter 5, we see that there's envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings, okay? And such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, it can cost you and ruin you at the judgment seat of Christ. You will not inherit the kingdom of God with that envy in you. Or you may go to heaven, but you'll have no inheritance when you get there. Absolutely take you down and destroy you. Now, what are you going to do about it? You're going to keep on hating this person? You keep on eyeing them and watching the matter get worse and worse? You're going to keep on messing with these evil thoughts and potentially evil spirits? And these thoughts of malice toward them, just praying every night that God would kill them? You're going to continue to fear them and thus not walk in the fear of the Lord? And sit here and make irrational decisions where even your wife and parents and close friends are like, why do you keep doing this? You're going to let it rot you from the inside out? I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that. You know what I'd do? I'd get to the altar in my church, and I'd get before the Lord, and I'd cry it out, and I'd say, Lord, take this envy away from me. I'm not going to do this anymore. I am not going to let myself be destroyed like Saul. I'll tell you what, if you'll do that, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the weight that is lifted from your heart and your mind and your shoulders and your spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.